And good evening, everybody. Welcome in to the United Center in Chicago. And this is the home of the 2017 NHL Draft. Willie Donick here with you in row number one. They gave us some good seats. I guess when you are the Western Conference champion, you get first dibs on the seats. Although I don't know if these are the best seats because we are right along the floor level. So when people walk in front of us, we can't really see. But here alongside for a little coverage between now and 10 o'clock, Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio and Jeremy Gover, who had an odyssey getting up here to Chicago. So, guys, first of all, I'm really glad you guys made it.
Well, thanks for inviting us, Willie. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to let Bradford, because he was the driver of the vehicle, tell you about the odyssey in about 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, so this odyssey started yesterday afternoon, leaving from downtown Nashville. It took us an hour and a half to get out of downtown Nashville thanks to traffic. Decided to spend the night in southern Indianapolis. Drive today as Tropical Storm Cindy, continued to make landfall. The rain really delayed us. Interstate was shut down for 45 minutes in Indianapolis, delayed us getting here, but we made it to Chicago. We're here for the draft, and it's really exciting.
Well, let's tell you what has happened so far. There have been 20 picks on the board, and it has been remarkable. There has not been a single trade announced since the draft began, which is very, very unusual. The only picks that have been swapped were picks that were either swapped during the expansion draft a couple nights ago, and then earlier today, the Rangers and the Coyotes made a trade, which got the Rangers the seventh pick overall, which was a pretty big trade. So, guys, after a very spirited lunchtime where there were a bunch of big trades, it's been very quiet here. In fact, I would say the ratio of smart alecky tweets has been very, very high here because nobody really has anything to report on.
Well, when there's nothing going on, I mean, you got to entertain yourself, right? I mean, it's been relatively quiet. We've seen some commotion at the Prince table off and on, but nothing that's really kind of taken hold, it doesn't look like. And we're kind of in a quiet holding pattern, I guess.
I know. From up in my position in the top of the press box there, seeing some of the commotion. I know y'all are down here close to the table, but trying with my eagle eyes, trying to see what's going on at the Predators table. I think they were ordering takeout or deciding if they want chocolate chip cookies or snickerdoodles.
We were speculating which kind of deep dish pizza right here in Chicago would be, because you want to order ahead of time.
You do.
It takes a while. Yeah. So you want to, you know, if you want to make the call. So we are situated very close to where the Predators table is. And once again, the way they do it is the better you finish, the further back you are from the podium. So the Predators and the Penguins are right next to each other, way back in the back. We're in the front of the media area, so therefore we have a very good look at what's going on over there. But, of course, unless you're a lip reader, you have no idea what they're saying.
If you're familiar with downtown Nashville, which most of you should be, it'd be like if you were at Rippy's at the front door looking across to Tootsie's. That's how close we are.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, to the table, which is pretty neat, you know. But at the same time, we're still far enough away to not be able to, as Willie said, like, you know, hear any conversations or anything juicy. So,
well, it's funny when you see David Poile get up or he's on his phone, automatically your antennas go up and you're thinking, what happens? I mean, at one point he was huddled up with Paul Fenton and the coaching staff, Kevin McCarthy and Peter Laviolette. There's a big table of scouts and people that are there alongside. But when the four of them huddled up, you did wonder, what was the conversation? You just get a lot of curiosity. It may mean absolutely nothing. And I'm sure there's been plenty of conversations up and down these tables or powwows. But so far, nothing has materialized from any of the teams right now.
Yeah, the only team that I've seen them, and this is not speculation because I just watched it, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, the conversation could have been, how's the kids, right? I mean, we don't know. But the only conversation that I've seen in person with Poile or another team was the Edmonton Oilers. And the Oilers are picking after this current pick of the Rangers right now. So if there's some sort of deal on hold, if a player's still there, we might see some action then. Or it may be, again, how's your kids and wife doing? I mean, maybe it may have been nothing, so.
Now, I want to note here, we have the Predators runner and the Blackhawks runner were walking next to each other in perfect harmony.
In harmony.
So people, they can get along, just want to note that. But the Predators runner is going to get pretzels now, delivering pretzels to the table.
That's actually true. He actually does have pretzels in his hand.
So I just want to get that live update of what's going on the draft floor. People, speculation abound, you know, here on the draft floor. But that is what is going on at the Predators table immediately this instant.
So right now, the Rangers are on the clock. They have the 21st overall pick. The Predators right now are in the 30th pick hole. That's where they sit. So we think about 45 minutes to an hour, maybe even sooner because of how quick it's going when there's no trades or anything. It You know, the clock doesn't stop. It's really been moving smoothly. So the Rangers are up now. The Oilers, as you mentioned, are on deck. It'll be Arizona 23rd, Winnipeg 24th, Montreal 25th, the Blackhawks 26th. So get ready for some noise when they go to the podium. St. Louis will go 27, followed by Ottawa, Dallas, then Nashville and Pittsburgh. So the Rangers are about ready to make their pick.
How cool was it, though, Willie, earlier? You mentioned Chicago and the noise, the 26th. How cool was it earlier when Dale Tallon, the former GM of the Blackhawks, went up to pick for the Florida Panthers at number 10, and without saying a word, he got a rousing ovation from this great United Center crowd. That was really cool.
Justin, there is a very good crowd here tonight. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if the third deck would be full, but it's about as full as you could be. It's not, you know, what it would be on game night, but there's a great crowd here.
Oh, yeah. So from my perspective up in the press box there's some rowdy Blackhawks fans and Red Wings fans in the upper decks. They're starting cheers back and forth between, you know, Detroit Stinks and Let's Go Hawks between the two. Beer has been consumed by both fan bases up there, but very loud, very rowdy. They're very into the draft there. Buffalo last year was pretty rowdy as well. There was lots of trades were going on, so people had their fan reactions to the trades. And that's what I'm waiting for, is a trade for the fans to react to, because that's usually when they get going big time, is when a trade happens.
You guys, the draft is not considered among the more powerful drafts. I was noticing today around lunchtime, the NHL Network replayed the 2003 draft from Nashville. And, of course, that was a loaded draft that even today, you look back, there's still a lot of prominent players still kicking and still in the prime of their career. This one's not supposed to be that, but you never know. Any surprises? I mean, you guys have studied, you know, where the prospects were scheduled to go. There have been some guys that have been drafted a little higher than expected, a little lower than expected. So what do you think that means for the Predators of what they think they'll have available to them at number 30?
I think it shows just how this draft – I don't want to say weak. The first round, you're still going to find some strong, good future NHLers in this draft. You still have the superstar picks, your Connor McDavid's, your Austin Matthews. You don't have that in this draft, but you do have some good picks. But what it's showing with some of these guys, like Gabe Vilardi, he was ranked third by ISS Hockey. He dropped to the LA Kings at 11. That's a huge drop right there. And you've seen guys bump up big time, drop big time. Guys who were ranked in the 20s go into the single digits. So I think that shows that teams are evaluating the players, obviously, very differently, but it shows how even the talent is, and you don't have guys that are just really standout players in this draft. But very solid overall, very solid first round in this draft, but you don't have guys that are a superstar right off the bat, and that's the difference.
2003 draft, you guys were mentioning that. I'm just going to read you – well, I mean, I'm not going to read you that, actually. I'm going to tell you that it's the first draft that I've ever seen, and I believe it's the first draft ever, to have every single player from 1 to 30 have NHL experience. That's how strong that draft was. Every single player drafted in the first round, actually in the top 33 picks, so three picks in the second round, all played in the NHL at least one game, which is pretty incredible.
That's pretty rare. And the number of really good players is astonishing in that draft when you go down the list. Gary Bettman just went up to the podium, and one thing that is consistent, every time he goes up to the podium, he's booed. In fact, when he sort of introduced himself and started off the night before the picks were made, he even encouraged the Blackhawks fans to do better in their job of booing him.
That was great.
He embraces it.
He does. He really embraces it. I mean, there are words that I can't say on air that the fans up in the upper decks were saying. I cannot repeat those on air, but they were saying them every single time he gets to that podium. They're saying, very, very naughty. You're not a good boy. Very naughty words. Very bad words.
They also did a roll call, and Jeremy, they I don't know, I guess it's a tradition. I don't know if they think one of these teams is not going to show up or something like that, but they go down the list, you know, who's here.
That's right.
And the reaction of the fans to each particular team, you could tell who the rivals were. And we should take it as a sign of respect when they announced the Predators.
That's how I took it. I took it as the Chicago Blackhawks, who swore up and down on Chicago and Nashville radio that it was not a rivalry with the Nashville Predators. They're too new a franchise, and the real rivalry is Detroit. I took the strong boos from this crowd just as acknowledgement that the Predators may actually be a rival now.
That's going to be fun. Justin, when they announce, when Gary Bettman goes up and announces that it's Nashville on the clock, you listen to the response that you get here.
Well, this is where I hope somebody at the Predators table brought a broom just to, like, raise above their head like the sand people in Star Wars. Just raise above their head. I think that would get everybody going. Folks in Nashville would really appreciate that. But yeah, that appreciates right there. You have to beat your rival to make it a rival. And so Nashville did that. Now it's going to make it even more fun during regular season games between these two fan bases because, yeah, Chicago has cups. Nashville doesn't yet, but beating them in the playoffs is what you have to do to get over that hump. So once Nashville catches up and gets there, it really adds to that rivalry. That's what makes it fun between these fan bases, because you know they're in their heads now.
It's not every day you get a sand person Tuscan Raider reference on radio. So congratulations, Justin.
Thank
Brown.
You.
I was impressed. The first Star Wars reference of the night. It was a very busy afternoon. There were some big trades. When we come back, we will break down those. We'll get our thoughts on what happened earlier today, especially with the host city here in Chicago. They really shook it up. And so we'll try to interpret, did the Blackhawks get better today? Did they get worse? Are they about the same? Because we know exactly what they were trying to do. They have some salary cap issues that they had to address. So we'll tell you what Stan Bowman did to try to do it today if you missed it. So we're coming back with more of our special draft coverage from here at the United Center in Chicago. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. So we anticipate that we'll be able to get a chance to talk to whoever the Predators pick, presuming they stay in the first round here and they make a pick tonight. We'll introduce you to that person a little bit later, and also hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to David Poile before we go off the air tonight, just to get where his head is. We'll ask if they did order the deep dish pizza for later tonight. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. We're back here in Chicago for the 2017 NHL Draft. The first round continues. We're down on the floor. Willie Donick, Justin Bradford, and Jeremy Gover here with you. The Predators are picking 30th tonight. Only the first round takes place tonight. The rest of it will be tomorrow morning. The Edmonton Oilers just made pick number 22. On the clock right now are the Arizona Coyotes. And, guys, that's a great segue into what happened earlier today. The Coyotes made a couple of big trades, and one of them was with the Chicago Blackhawks. So let's start there. Nick Jalmerson, one of the anchors of the great championship teams for the Blackhawks on all three Stanley Cup title teams, 2010, 13, and 15, he gets traded to Arizona in a very surprising move, at least in my mind, for defenseman Connor Murphy and forward Laurent Dauphin. So that started things right there. But that's something I did not know that we were going to hear. Jalmerson, I just thought, was a guy that they would never trade.
Yeah, it's one of those things with Chicago, too, as they continue to get older and older, that you didn't expect that to happen. I mean, it was one of the first two things that they did right there as well. And it really didn't help with their cap as much either. And that's what Chicago was really trying to do, is get under the salary cap max. And they haven't been able to do that. Now, in terms of Arizona, obviously making lots of moves. They don't have a head coach. They don't have a captain. They don't have a lot of things right now. But they're making certain moves. And it was a little awkward. Shane Doan was the first player featured on the video for the Coyotes before, you know, as they're on the clock right now. But it's one of those moves. The Coyotes are obviously in that phase right now. They want to win. They've had opportunities. They have young talent like Anthony Duclair and Domi, Max Domi right there too. So they need youth to really instill that. And they need to solidify their blue line as well with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. So Jalmerson's able to do that. It's still shocking to Chicago. Stan Bowman, it really seems like everywhere on Twitter today I've seen that Nashville broke Stan Bowman. Is what some of the tweets were, is that he's making a lot of moves that are kind of shocking the Chicago fan base. And, boy, good thing that he made them before the draft, because maybe he made them tonight with some of these moves, he might have gotten booed.
And that's the thing, too. It's not just Predators people or fans or media saying that. It's actually national writers were making a joke about how, you know, Pecorine broke the Blackhawks and the Predators broke Stan Bowman and all this. They're in chaos mode because they have to get back to the promised land because the Predators swept them and all that. And so I find that a very interesting dynamic. That said, if Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews did go to management, as has been suggested, and said, we want Brendan Saad back, then, you know, he had to make that deal. I mean, your two key cornerstone guys, you got to make them happy. So
it was Jalmerson for Connor Murphy and Laurent Dauphin. The other trade, as you just referenced, Artemi Panarin, who has lit it up for 2 years.
Great player.
After being a perfect, just a tremendous find from the KHL. Yeah. He was a bargain until now. And now he signed a two-year, $12 million extension during the season, so he was about to get a lot more expensive. So with that in mind, it's Panarin along with Tyler Mott and a sixth-round pick. They go to Columbus, and the Blackhawks bring back Brandon Saad, who they traded a couple years ago after they won the championship in 2015. They also get a backup goalie. Remember, they're going to lose Scott Darling. They did lose Scott Darling to Carolina. Anton Forsberg comes back from Columbus. So presumably he has a chance to be the backup for Corey Crawford, and they also get a fifth-round pick. So the net result, you lose two of the cornerstone pieces, Panarin and Jalmerson. You get back Brandon Saad. Saad is locked up, Justin, for four more years. Mm-hmm. Panarin only two. And so I think that was a huge, huge part of it, along with what Jeremy was saying, that Saad's a little bigger, stronger. Maybe they wanted somebody in that mold more so than Panarin, who is a little bit more of a skilled finesse guy.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, talking hockey business, and I know Gover hates the hockey business side of things. We're talking in the long drive up. But the Blackhawks are still $1.4 million over the cap right now, even with the trade. So even with those trades, it didn't help them get under the cap. And now you look at RW Panarin, I mean, 151 points in 162 games. That's pretty stellar when you look at what they're doing there. Now, Columbus, good trades for Columbus because they're getting stronger. And I would say, Gover and I were both talking as well, they'd be the favorite for the division, especially now with how they perform. Jack Adams, winner, John Tortorella as well. So Columbus really getting stronger there. And you have Zach Werenski is going to be healthy with Seth Jones. You have offensive firepower there. Columbus is going to be something to watch out for, whereas I think Chicago, they're trying to put a band-aid now on an aging team that knows that their cup window is closing. Their playoff window is obviously open, but that cup window is definitely closing.
And they're trying to keep it open as long as they can. Don't you think, Jeremy? And
yeah,
that was the thing to me that was surprising, that at the end of the day, they got the cost certainty of Saad for longer. But in the immediate future, they don't really pick up a whole lot of cap space. That was intriguing about taking on the contract of Connor Murphy. They really tried to make the argument today that they like Connor Murphy and he's entering the prime of his career and he's going to be really good. But there's no comparison, at least at this point, between Murphy and Jalmerson.
No, I don't think so either. I think the total cap savings, what was it, Bradford, $250,000?
Yeah.
That's minimal when you're looking at $74 million cap.
Because Murphy makes a decent amount of money.
Sure.
Surprisingly
yeah.
so. I didn't know he made that much. He makes over $3 million a year.
Of course. And so, I mean, they can spin it however they want to their fan base. But I do think it was interesting, like Bradford said earlier, I think it was interesting that they made these trades before the draft. And, like, you know, in their home building, for crying out loud. They could have made two huge splashes had they have thought the PR hit was going to be positive. Instead, they took action early in the day, and they set up a draft to where there has not been a deal yet, which they're not – I mean, that's not their responsibility.
Sure.
But I'm just saying usually the
right.
home team loves to make a splash. I've been at several drafts. My sixth draft. I've been at several drafts, at least four that I can think of off the top of my head, where the home team made a deal and sent the place going nuts on purpose.
There's two other things that have struck me about the Blackhawks this week. Of course, they had the news about Marian Hossa, which
right.
was hard. There was speculation that they were trying to get somebody to take that contract. I can't imagine anybody in his situation with the money left and his age and his condition. I mean, who are they trying to kid? Nobody's going to take that contract.
Well, and no team should do him any favors either.
No, of course.
No.
But my question will be, I'm sure they will get the insurance, get the cap relief. I have wondered, remember how they sort of finagled around the salary cap two
yes.
years ago when they got the relief from Patrick Kane's broken leg. Then suddenly he was able to go in the playoffs, and the relief that they allowed them to acquire Antoine Vermette, they got Vermette and Patrick Kane.
Right.
I wonder if Marian Hossa's condition, what if it were to be solved by March or something like that? What would happen? I do wonder, because they will get cap relief. The problem for the Blackhawks is it's not going to be easy to find somebody like Marian Hossa. He's a unique player.
He very much is. He's a very special player. Predators fans, of course, don't like him because he kills the Preds at every like every occasion that he plays against him. But at the end of the day, he's a great player, and I've heard nothing but great things about him as a person as well. So it's a big loss for Chicago, but at the same time, my personal struggle is that this seems to happen with Chicago circumventing the cap in certain different ways. And
they're going to try to find every loophole they
right.
can.
Which,
when you're up against the cap, that's all you can
right,
do.
Right, that's all you can do. But, to me, it's more of a rich gets richer type of thing. And just the cap is to keep that stuff from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the big teams make it happen.
And it's still beyond me that Brent Seabrook makes $1.25 million more than Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
That's still beyond me in terms of how they made these signings with Chicago. So, again, I think most people have said that Stan Bowman's not done. So I think there's some minor moves that are still going to be made. And obviously, you have to figure out the Hossa situation. But it's still one of those things that they're struggling right now in terms of getting under the cap. And what are they going to do for day one when it locks in? You have to be under the cap. What is Chicago going to do there? Because they have so much money locked up and just a few players, and it's insane.
The other thing that they have not been able to do, that they were trying to do, was to unload the contract of Marcus Kruger. But once again, here's a guy that's overpaid, that is a solid player, but not for $3 million a year. And so I don't know why they thought they could just dump that on somebody. That's what they were trying to do.
Vegas.
There was a lot of talk that Vegas might take it, but Vegas, of course, I mean, George McPhee has been smart, right? If you're going to take a contract like that, there's going to be something else coming your way. Last year, Brian Bickle's contract was given to Carolina, but you had to give up Teuvo Teravainen. So this is the going rate to get rid of a bad contract, and Stan Bowman hasn't been able to do it yet.
It's just yet another example that when you sign guys to bad contracts, it's going to come back and bite you.
It will bite you.
I mean, how many times? We talk about this every year multiple times throughout the season where somebody has signed a horrible contract. Alexei Yashin, of course, is the go-to gold standard. But still, like
and
Wade
Rick
Redden's another one.
Yeah, I mean, the all-time.
So, I mean, but at the same time, like these guys are getting signed to these bad contracts, and this is what happens. All of a sudden, teams start to finagle their way out of stuff. And Bradford's laughing. I'm sure he has an example. But they try to finagle their way out of things. There's not going to be a Vegas every year to dump cap at.
Right.
To where this is an expansion team. They're not going to do well, so they want to get to the floor, all that. There's not going to be that every year.
Yeah, how about this? Rick DiPietro still has 4 years left on his contract.
thank you. Rick DiPietro, great example.
Because it started 06, 07. He still has 4 years left on that contract. Thank you. Islanders.
Thank you very much.
That's a Mike Milbury special right there. Now,
what a clown deal.
How about this? Speaking of contracts like that, I was stunned when I saw the Washington Capitals deal with T.J. Oshie.
I agree.
Not that they re-signed him, but and not even what he got money-wise, but to sign him for eight years.
At 30.
You cannot tell me that the last 3 or 4 years of that contract aren't going to be painful.
Well, that's right. When Seattle gets awarded a franchise, they'll just trade him to Seattle for dead money, and then everyone will be happy again.
Okay, well, maybe so. But I thought that was a very significant move because, number one, there might have been some teams out there going, well, the free agent pool is slim, but Oshie's out there. Radulov's out there. Those guys are asking for enormous prices. Radulov reportedly from Pierre LeBrun, what was it, 6 years at $7 million a year? I mean, there's no way Montreal can pay that. And it also reminds you of why, or at least one of the reasons why, the Predators were willing to part with James Neal, because James Neal is going to, if Oshie gets 8 years for $6-plus million a year, and Radulov gets anything close to what he's asking for, James Neal's right in that same category, and there's no way the Predators were going to be able to afford that after next year. They have too many other players that they're going to have to sign, and so you see the logic in allowing him to go to Vegas.
Absolutely, especially when you have to lock up Ryan Johansson long-term, Victor Arvidsson long-term, and you have your RFAs as well, that some of them are going to be worth getting a good contract that's at least, you know, 3-4 years or, you know, a 2-3 year contract, not just qualifying them and signing them to a 1 or 2 year deal. You want to get some of these guys that do have potential to be good in this organization locked up on deals, and that's where that money's going to go. That and free agency, maybe you get an older veteran that's wanting to take a little bit of a cut to come to a team that is in their cup window right now. That's what they possibly could do with some of that extra money, plus the extra money they earn during the playoffs. That's some really good bonus money to throw, because that does not count against the cap. You have that extra cash, you just throw it free agent and say, hey, we can't give you this much per year, but here's an extra signing bonus that we can, you know, get you to come to Nashville.
Now, it is Montreal on the clock with pick number 25. The Jets have made their pick at 24. The Predators are sitting there at 30. Still not a single trade announced since the draft began. First-round picks that have moved around.
Darren Drager is reporting Dallas and Chicago are headed into Central Registry, and that normally means a trade.
Well, it's about time.
So it may not be this pick here, but it'll be for the next one because Chicago is on the clock after Montreal.
After Montreal.
Stan Bowman is at the Dallas table.
So there you go.
Well, that's it. Well, maybe we got something to chew on here. This is good.
I mean, division rivals, too. That's interesting.
It may be a minor trade. It may be just a swap of picks. It may be a salary cap dump. I mean, who knows what it is?
Patrick Sharp.
Could be a lot of different things involved.
They do love to bring back their own players.
They do love that. So does Poyle.
I know.
So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. Montreal will make their selection while we're gone. When we come back, maybe we'll have some news on this trade, and it'll be Chicago on the clock. We're going to want to make sure we give you the theatrics of that. Stay tuned. Our draft coverage will continue from the United Center in Chicago in just a moment. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on the floor of the United Center here in Chicago, Illinois. Willie Donick, Justin Bradford and Jeremy Gover with our special draft coverage of the first round tonight. We'll have a special draft wrap-up show tomorrow for an hour from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock after the draft concludes once again in this building tomorrow. The Chicago Blackhawks, the host team, are on the clock right now. They're showing a big video of some highlights from the Blackhawks. And we have a trade. As you guys reported, it's been on Twitter the last couple minutes.
Chicago trades pick number 26. Man, Bettman a little loose handed right now.
All right. Pick, so you get to get excited again. We'll be back.
Bettman trolling the fans.
Man,
there.
Bettman is he's yeah, on they let fire him play the video. Wise. He's yeah. ready to go. He's loose today.
And now it's Dallas on the board. So that makes it interesting there. Dallas, you're obviously trying to rebuild a little bit. They have a very big time letdown last season, I think, for them.
But Dallas? But yeah. this is an interesting move. And you would give up a third-round pick to move up three spots. There must be somebody they really like here.
Right. There must be a guy who they're staring at that's either St. Louis or Ottawa wants for sure that they're now targeting to move up two spots to get him. Because they were 29. They weren't that far away. So, they must have a guy pegged that they really want that St. Louis and Ottawa is also looking at, and they're ensuring that they can get their guy.
But I have to ask, is moving up three spots worth giving up the 70th overall pick? It's not like you're giving up the 150th
pick. If
that's
the guy they really, really want.
Yeah, and they know someone else is after him.
It certainly can work.
When we hear the name called, we'll look it up and we'll see where he was ranked. We have six different publications open, Bradford and I do.
So many tabs.
hashtag all the tabs. And so we have these up. So we'll start comparing as to, like, if it was a player that they really liked that fell far as everybody else is concerned or whatever. But either way, this is obviously a player Dallas wanted because they're moving up just two spots to get him.
Dallas was very busy early in the offseason while the Predators were still in the playoffs. They were, of course, making the maneuvers. Ken Hitchcock is now the coach. They hired Scott Burnside for the website, which is huge.
Great hire.
And, of course, Ben Bishop is now their goalie. And, of course, that's where it all starts, is they needed a guy. They needed to shake it up in goal.
They really did need to shake it up in goal because that's been the big thing for Dallas. They have guys that can score. They have plenty of guys that can put pucks to the back of the net. They just couldn't stop them from getting into the net on their own end. And you had so much money tied up in goal, in two goalies. Dallas, you can't do that. So finally they have a goalie, their starting goalie. See what they can do now with that.
And the thing that killed everybody, all the experts and stuff, is that their GM and their owner would come out and be like, no, I'm satisfied in our goaltending situation and our defensive situation. And everyone looked at him like, really? Like, that became the ongoing joke because everyone seemed to kind of know that he couldn't win with that formula.
I'm very curious to see the influence of Ken Hitchcock in this second go-round with Dallas, because we know that the Stars can score. That wasn't the problem last year. And we know that Ken Hitchcock's teams traditionally prevent goals. He gets them to play. There may be a law of diminishing returns, but usually the initial impact is good. How quickly can they do that? And a big goalie like Bishop, what's that going to look like on the ice?
I'm interested to see how they react to him as well, Hitchcock, because Mike Modano, Brett Hull's skate in the crease, and Joe Neuendijk are not walking through that door anytime soon. So he's got to do it with a whole new group of guys. Now, again, Jamie Benn, he's not nothing to shake a stick at. Tyler Seguin, great player. These are great players.
Oh, they got some weapons.
So if they can just solidify that back in, they'll be all right.
All right, so with a little fanfare, that was quick.
Zero appreciative of Chicago, zero congratulations to Pittsburgh, just right to the pick. I like that.
So this is what's interesting. They're taking a goalie.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. I don't want to interrupt you, Bradford.
And first round.
Now it makes sense. Because if they thought St. Louis or where's it at? St. Louis or Ottawa was going to take a goaltender, then they knew they had to jump up and get their guy. Because the draft is not deep in goaltending this year. They're all kind of in the same tier. And so it kind of becomes clear Jake Ottinger was a Boston University goaltender and just drew high praises because he was on a great team and he was one of the best players on the ice for them. So if Dallas really wanted to solve that goaltending situation, they did not want to. It was worth a third-round pick to jump up two spots and make sure that Ottawa or St. Louis was not going to grab him.
And this is the thing with Jake Ottinger, second ranked goalie, and for ISS Hockey, that's International Scouting Services. He's 42 ranked player overall for NHL Central Scouting. Big thing with that, it shows that Ben Bishop, obviously he's not going to be the starter forever. It shows that they're really trying to plan their future so they can reopen that window again, especially with Bishop getting older and older. Jake Ottinger's one of those guys, you know, 4, 5, 6 years from now, they obviously want him to be their number one. So that's why they move up for that. It makes total sense now.
6'4", big guy. Mm-hmm.
Ottinger, ranked number 32 by the Hockey News and number 20 by Sports Illustrated.
Interesting. So he's putting the victory green jersey on right now. And it does harken back, though, the goalies in the draft. It's a crapshoot. It's very, very difficult. The Predators' best goalies they've ever picked. Of course, Pecorine was the 8th round pick, which they don't have anymore.
The round doesn't even exist anymore.
You're right. And, of course, they have whiffed badly on a couple of first-round goalies with Jet Pickard, who
Brian
we
Finley.
Referred to, and Brian Finley,
yep.
Both of which we referenced on Twitter
that's
earlier
right,
tonight.
That's right.
But
around this day every year, they do get some mentions.
Right. Yeah. It is crazy how that works, though. So you can think you've got the right guy, but remember how young these guys are, and sometimes it takes goalies longer before you know what you've got or what you don't have. UC Saros was not a first-round pick by any means either.
No. And the thing is, what's always interesting with the draft, especially when goalies go, is the same thing with fantasy hockey. You know, as soon as a goalie goes, let's see how many other teams start picking goalies in the second round, too.
Okay, we have a trade.
Number 27 in this year's draft, Yuri Laterra, and a conditional first-round pick in 2018 to Philadelphia for Braden Schenn.
Whoa.
Ooh, now there is a trade.
Oh, the crowd reaction to that one, too.
So Philadelphia has acquired the pick right here. This is the 27th. Remember, the Predators are sitting there at number 30. Braden Schenn, who is a former first-round pick, I believe from the same draft as Chet Pickard, just to bring it all back full circle.
Tying it all in.
That's why you're a pro, my friend.
It was either Luke or Braden that was in that draft. Maybe both. But Braden Schenn will come to St. Louis for Yuri Laterra, this pick, and a conditional first-round pick next year. So St. Louis, already you would think, feeling pretty good about defense, but now they get another guy.
Yeah. I mean, and they're doing that too. Obviously, the loss of Shattenkirk.
Right.
They need to replace that there because they're still in win-now mode. They're obviously replacing their coach. It's important there. They're in win-now mode. Vladimir Tarasenko, they're still a team that has their window open. They're still strong in net. Now you bring Braden Schenn, that solidifies the blue line a little bit more for them too. So win-now mode for St. Louis.
I ask you this. Is Braden Schenn that good?
Yeah, it solidifies the blue line. It's not one of those huge
solidifies.
Things.
I could see, but I mean, Laterra is a useful player, if not a great player, and then basically 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, Schenn. A lot of clout has been around his name since his draft year.
Yep.
He's bounced around. He's not stuck anyplace.
I mean, I've always considered him good. I've never usually heard him as a first-rate first pair guy.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Let me take it back to Dallas just real quick. Because I was going to make this point earlier. They've done this before where they've drafted a goalie in the first round, and it was Jack Campbell, who was supposed to be like the next best thing since sliced bread. And he, since going 11th overall to Dallas in the 2010 draft, they've shipped him out to the LA Kings last year for Nick Ebert. And he's done basically nothing in the NHL. So they've done this before. You have to hope that this one turns out differently for Dallas.
Now, hear about Yuri Laterra. He's kind of diminished since a really good 14-15 season. 44 points, 14-15 in 75 games, 34 points in 79 games, 15-16. 16-17, played 64 games, only 22 points. So it's kind of diminishing there for St. Louis. Might be the smart time to move him if that's what they're wanting to do, is to move him now while they can still get something in return, even though they do have to include those picks with him.
I got to say, I am really surprised at that. If I'm the Flyers, I really like that. I
agree.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got they're on the clock right now. They got Laterra, and they got rid of a guy who never really lived to his potential, if you will.
I'm looking for a reaction on Twitter. I'm waiting to see some things. I would love to see a St. Louis perspective of the initial reaction. If you're in the Blues camp, what you think when you see that? Maybe I'm selling Schenn short, but that's a lot to give up.
I need to correct myself. Braden Shen's a center. My My
Luke Shen is
Luke
the defenseman.
Shen.
Yeah. Sorry about
that. I think we were all mixed up on that one, so apologies. I think I might have started
Back in the studio, so if you could hit the five-minute dump button.
When they were both on the same team, I really got them confused a lot.
So many Shens, so many Stalls, so many Stroms.
All the Shens.
So apologies, folks. That is my bad.
All the Shens.
My bad there. So center depth, switching center, you know, either way.
I think I started you off on the wrong foot on that, too. But
doesn't matter. It's still Laterra.
But still a lot to give up.
Laterra first, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and a conditional
first-round pick. It's two first-round picks.
Now we're getting close. We're getting close to the Preds now. We're very close.
So Philadelphia has made the pick at 27. So two more selections before the Predators. And it is Morgan Frost from Sault Ste. Marie, the Greyhounds, the formerly coached by Terry Crisp.
That's
Once upon a time.
And Joe Thornton's, by the way. Joe Thornton's junior team.
And he moved up a little bit. He's ranked 31st overall NHL Central Scouting. So it just shows the movement right now.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we might be able to squeeze in the Predators pick before the top of the hour. We're on until 10, so our hope and our goal is to have whoever the first-round pick is for the Predators over our table a little bit later, and perhaps General Manager David Poile as well. Still no trades involving the Predators. We'll also get a couple of guys maybe to keep your eye on, names that maybe we take a look for when we come back. You're listening to our special draft coverage here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. We are back on the floor at the United Center. The Ottawa Senators have just made their pick at number 28, which means the Predators are now officially on deck. It is the Chicago Blackhawks who will have the next pick, so get ready to hear a roar from the United Center. The fans have patiently waited here for a good long time. I mean, they've been here since 6 o'clock and waiting for their team to make a pick. They traded down three spots, so the video will be rolling here very shortly. So, guys, the Predators now are getting a pretty clear look at who's going to be left, save for one guy. So, any names to look for here? Any names that have caught your attention?
I'll start with one, and he's the highest rated still available player in this draft class by the Hockey News. That's Eli Tolvanen. He's a Finnish player, which the Preds, of course, love, right? We got plenty of the European scouts do their work. But the best part about him is he's played in the USHL with Sioux City last year. And he's a Boston College commit. That's 2 years, excuse me. And he's a Boston College commit. So a lot of offensive upside with him. He's ranked number 17 by Central Scouting, number 11 by the Hockey News. And when the Preds pick at 30, unless Chicago picks him next, he will be there.
And mine would be Cole Lind. He's a center from Kelowna. Obviously, some connections between the Predators
That's
and Kelowna.
True.
Shea Weber from Kelowna.
Colton Sissons.
Kelowna Rockets there. And Colton Sissons. Justin Kirkland. You know, a few Kelowna Rockets connections there. Beautiful
Vern
city.
Fiddler, I believe, was a Kelowna Rockets.
Vern
Fiddler, right?
Vern Fiddler, I believe, still has a summer house there. Beautiful, beautiful town. I'm going to go a little Pierre McGuire. Beautiful town, Kelowna there.
Stop
you know, with the lake. It's beautiful with the mountains
Pierre,
right up there.
It.
It's just beautiful. No, but
stop
he's a center. He's 6'1". Here's from ISS Scouting Report. Director Scouting Dennis McInnes says he's a good offensive player. Moves the puck well, has great hands, needs to improve strength to excel at the next level, but even improve defensive positioning and physicality around our game. So he's only 176 pounds, but that's what you expect. You want them to be able to improve. His strengths are playmaking ability, offensive instincts, and hockey IQ. Big things right there in terms of when you look at the Peter Laviolette system. So Colin would be the one that I would say would be good, but I also love Tolvanen as well. Would be a great, great fit for the Nashville Predators.
All right, 8:49 is our time. Let's listen to Gary Bettman here.
Chicago Roars.
NHL draft belongs to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Roll the video. I wonder if they'll show any highlights from the playoffs this year.
Oh wait, did I say it?
Woo!
We didn't hear the goal song, so
wow. Man.
Another guy, Willie, also I'll mention that we heard a lot on the way in on our long epic drive into Chicago.
You guys had time to study this.
We did. And we listened to some SiriusXM as well. And they were talking about a guy named Maxime Comtois who played for Victoriaville. And he's ranked number 19 by the Hockey News, number 30 by International Scouting. And he is 51. He had 51 points in 64 games last year for Victoriaville. And he played on their last 2 years on their under 18 World Junior Championship, World Junior Team, Team Canada I'm talking about. And so for him to get that much praise and be able to be talked about on the air and as a guy who you can see a spotlight on, he could also fall to Nashville as well.
And he's a big dude. 6'2", 199 pounds, and he's a 90. He's born in 99. He's a big, big dude. Here's what ISS Hockey says about him. Not a lot of flash to his game, but he's steady, independent player with a good hockey sense and compete level. He'll play in the NHL, but there'll never be a wow factor to his game. Power forward, that's what you see. He's a power forward. He's a big guy, left winger. One of the things I'd like to see the Predators do is draft a winger in the first, second round here. Obviously, you want to get the best available forward is what I think the Predators need in the first round. But come 12, would also be a good fit.
And Tolvanen, by the way, I didn't mention this earlier, he's a left winger out of Sioux City. So you got two wingers there for sure.
I would certainly think that the Predators, with some of the prospects they have throughout the system, could probably take whoever they wanted here and from a position standpoint.
Yes.
Whereas a few years ago, you would have said, boy, they're desperate. They've got it. And I know they put an emphasis on finding some forwards. They've always been able to find defensemen, but now I think they feel good about both what's in the cupboard, that they'll just take whoever they think the best player is.
And last year when Bradford and I were in Buffalo covering the draft, we said going in, they have to focus on defensemen because the cupboard's pretty bare. And what did they do? They went and drafted three blue chip defenseman prospects right now. Samuel Girard, who's considered by some to be pro-ready, Milwaukee Admirals,
yes,
National Predators, depending on what the depth is like. You've got, obviously, Frederick Allaire, who's going to be a natural leader in about 4 or 5 years. And then, of course, you got Dante Fabra, who played for World
Series. First-round
pick.
Yeah, I think they've – and Jack Daugherty is in the system as well.
Right, yes.
The kid, Alex Carrier, I thought showed okay in the couple of games. So I think they have some depth there, and that sort of – and this is something I'm sure we'll talk in the next hour about, is the Matt Duchene – oh, here we go. Sorry about the song, guys.
That's the first time they've been able to sing it since April. So,
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Burns on both sides, my
Sorry.
Right and my left.
Early April. Can't blame them, I mean.
So one thing to add in terms of Nashville writer Michael Gallagher put out, Nashville center depth is like a vanilla milkshake. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it, but it could be better.
Yes.
And I think that's very, very true in terms of looking at it. It is good. You have Vladislav Kamenev, Jakob Trenin, and Tyler Moy even potentially there, but it's one of those things you can always get better at center because it's one of those positions very, very tough.
But I've interviewed Assistant General Manager Paul Fenton several times in the last 8 years, who runs the draft for the Predators, and he has specifically told me that he has a strong belief in, unless there's an exception like last year, for example, that they believe in taking the best asset. And I think this is a great, to your point, Willie, this is a great year that they can truly take whoever they think is at the top of their board.
So here's Stan Bowman from the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks are proud to select.
Dramatic pause.
I think there's a better way to do this.
Uh-oh.
Back in 2006 and 2007.
Wow.
Very curious here.
The Blackhawks drafted two players that changed the course of our franchise.
So Kane and Taves are going to introduce the picks?
Perhaps.
A little trickery here by the host team.
I think it's only appropriate that we have those guys come up and make the selection.
I can hear the Nashville fans booing through the radio right now.
With the third pick in the draft, the Blackhawks selected your captain, number 19, Jonathan Taves.
Remember when the Blackhawks were so bad?
Oh, yeah.
The Predators played them 8 times a year and just would go to town, but that's how you get players like Jonathan Taves
that's
and Patrick
right.
Kane.
That's right.
Same thing with Pittsburgh.
You got to be
awful sometimes to get first generational talent. Edmonton the same.
I mean, Edmonton tried to get generational talent for 4 or 5 straight years.
Finally clicked for Edmonton, though. Hey, you know what? Eventually, if numbers say we're awful long enough to get a number one pick, we'll do something right sometime.
I know.
And they finally did something right with Connor McDavid with the awards that he was able to win. He brought home plenty of medal.
And so Patrick Kane has made his way up on the stage, along with Jonathan Taves, the captain of the Chicago Blackhawks, and they will announce the pick.
Kane's going to milk it here.
I'd like to remind everybody, too, that these fans were booing their own Blackhawks team in Game 2 when they lost 5-0. I'd like to remind everybody about that. They booed the team off the ice.
We're going to be here again to announce a big pick in the future of our hockey team. Kane, you want to do the honors? Just remember, I went 2 spots higher than Johnny.
Wow.
If you didn't catch that.
The 29th pick, the Chicago Blackhawks select Henry Jokiharju.
All right, so everybody we threw out as possible for the Predators is still on the board.
Yes, they are.
So whoever they want of those guys, they've got.
So Henry Yokoharu from Portland. Portland Winterhawks at WHL, ranked 29th by ISS.
Second Winterhawk taken tonight, by the way.
Yes, yes, another Winterhawk. So
Brent Peterson would be proud.
It's always good to know thy enemy, right? So he's actually ranked 29th, taken 29th overall there. He's a defenseman.
He's already wearing a Blackhawks sweater, apparently.
He's already wearing a Hawk sweater there, too. One of the big things they say about him is his skating mobility, hockey sense, offensive instincts is big on him. And not a physical presence, but defends by winning races and using his stick effectively. I think that speaks volumes to where the NHL is going right now. You don't have to be big. You just have to be smart with your stick and good skating ability. So, you know, it's one of those guys the Predators fans want to look out for in the future when they play against Chicago.
How many Finns have been picked in this first round? It seems like at least four or five.
Well, that's a good question.
And none of them are goalies.
45 seconds, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Gover's got the research machine going.
I do. And my California Public School math tells me that there's six
Finns in the first round. Wow. And, of course, he's been playing in North America, so sometimes people think that that will help speed up his development, but we'll see. So the Predators are now on the clock.
They
so
are.
We will keep it here. This is, I know, not great timing with the top of the hour. But
I need to correct myself because it's my California Public School
system. Oh, wait a second.
It's five. Sorry.
Five, okay.
Five, sorry. I can't count, okay. So... Thanks, California.
So if you did not hear if you couldn't make out exactly what Patrick Kane was saying, he was ribbing Jonathan Toews that he was actually selected a couple slots higher than Toews in the draft. So here comes the Let's Go Hawks chant. Now we'll see if everybody leaves or stays to boo
Ooh,
the Predators when they're
true.
On the clock.
Only two picks left. And like
might as well
already,
just ride it out, right?
Yeah, like you said already, the guys that we thought – you know, could still be around for the Predators.
Yeah.
Still there. I think the Predators take a forward here. I'd be fairly shocked if they take a defenseman.
But again, they could.
Can anybody?
Here's why I agree with that. We just got done talking about how they can take the best asset they have on their board,
right?
Regardless of position, except for maybe goalie. But because the first round will be a reach. But in that regard, though, the players that we read off were forwards, and therefore. It stands within reach. Now, I know every team has their own list, okay? So they're not looking at the hockey news at the desk and being like, all right, guys, this guy has fallen, so we're going to get him. But for sake of argument, that guy, you know, the Finnish player I mentioned earlier, Tolvanen, who Bradford mentioned.
Yes.
Name?
What name?
The player you mentioned.
Maxime Comtois, okay, Paul Lind.
Thank you. Okay, Paul Lind. So they're all still there. They're all forwards. So they can pick they probably will pick a forward here by default, saying that they are higher on the board at the table.
And Gary Bettman coming to the podium.
Yeah, there is another trade here. Let's see if he announces it here.
In the 2017 NHL draft belongs to the Nashville Predators.
Oh, isn't it nice?
I would say those boos were louder than the cheers for Chicago, actually.
Well, they've got the video now playing with the gold Predators jersey and logo up on the board.
Not the Run This Town video. Just want to make that clear.
Well, this is the song that was the theme of the first round, if you were at any of the games. When they played the Blackhawks, this was the song that began and led into Run This Town.
Oh, so, the intro of the intro.
So it is a sort of a backhanded barb, I'm sure, at the Chicago fans. Very few of the fans actually in here would even know that was a song.
Excellent work by the Game Ops crew, though, to give them this video.
Yes, they knew what they were doing.
Oh,
that's for sure. There is a trade, guys, as the Predators have 2 minutes and 15 seconds on the clock here. The background behind Gary Bettman is all gold as we speak. But Ryan Reeves, the tough guy for the St. Louis Blues, has been dealt to the Pittsburgh Penguins. No details yet. This is Pierre LeBrun from TSN reporting it.
He was protected, was he not, in the expansion draft? I mean, he was one of the
protection
list.
Very interesting.
That's really – why do you trade a guy that you protected like that? I know something was already in the works maybe. I don't know. There's a big old check there on Patrick Kane there featured in the Predators video.
He's showing a lot of highlights from the playoff run.
We're approaching a minute and a half left on the clock for the Nashville Predators.
I'm still waiting to see the Predators from the table in the back where they are. They've got a long walk, but they haven't really started to make the move yet.
Nobody's unsettled their chair or anything.
Join the video right now.
Yeah, maybe they're just watching the video.
Yeah.
They never get to see it. They're like, hey.
Here they go.
They are going to take the stage and make a pin.
David Poile is up. Paul Fenton as well, assistant general manager. Jeff Kilty, who runs the scouting department. who is a very tall guy, by the way. What's the height on Kielty?
Probably six, six, maybe.
He's up there. So the contingent making their way up to the podium. Who else do I see? Scotty Nickel, director of player development. Scotty's son, who is donning the brand new gold jersey and a nice gold hat. Peter Laviolette, trailing in behind the group, is walking to the podium as well. Looks like Brian Poyle is staying back at the table along with Kevin McCarthy. So in 30 seconds, we will have the Predators' first-round pick, 2017.
Got a feeling here, Bradford?
So, but you're right. Ryan Reeves was protected by the Blues. Mm-hmm. They let David Perron go and then trade Ryan Reeves. So very interesting, and now they've traded for Braden Schenn, given up a lot to get him. So interesting moves indeed by the St. Louis Blues. So the Predators have now made their way onto the stage, and I'm guessing David Poyle will make the announcement, although we're not entirely sure. Some teams have elected to hand the microphone off to another representative.
And to that point, Willie, in ring roll call, Paul Fenton and Jeff Kielty were both named as the readers of the pick.
So this is Paul Fenton at the microphone, assistant general manager.
I'd like to say hello back to our fans in the Nashville Bridgestone Arena, the best catfish throwing fans in the league. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Jeff Kielty, our chief amateur scout, who will make our selection.
So it will be Jeff Kielty that makes the announcement.
Nashville Predators select the Sioux City Musketeers, L.A. Tolman.
From Sioux City.
There he is.
From the Sioux City Musketeers, it looks like another Finn. Ili Tolvanen, did I get that right?
Yes. That's exactly what Jeremy was talking about right there. So I think that's...
That is Finn number six in the first round. Wow. And how big is Finland? About the size of Florida? Maybe not even that big? A little colder than Florida?
Yeah, and we'll get a little bit of scouting reports here.
Yeah, we'll get you some information on this. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break. And we will compile some information on the newest Predator. And when we come back, we will begin to count down towards maybe meeting Mr. Tolvanen and having a chance maybe to talk to some of the Predators' brain trust in the second hour of our program. You're listening to 102.5 The Game. This is our special draft coverage from Chicago on ESPN Radio Nashville.